on holiday, and we'll look forward for them coming back soon. But as a result of that, we're a little bit light this morning, but we're grateful that you are here and we have opportunity to study together. We're going to be in Acts 14 to begin our lesson this morning, a few moments that we have together. And while you're turning there, I would like to remind you that, as was mentioned on Wednesday evening, we have a visitor who is with us today. He's going to be preaching in the 11 o'clock hour, Brother Tyler Hammack, from the Indiana Avenue congregation in Lubbock, Texas, and we're looking forward to that. So we encourage you to listen carefully to what he has to say. By way of a short invitation talk today, I wanted to share with you the Apostle Paul's admonition given to two groups of Gentiles, the first one in Acts 14 and the other in Acts chapter 17. I think that they are both very similar and perhaps will serve to emphasize a very important and salient point with regard to what we must do to be saved. So I want to start off in Acts chapter 14 with verse 8. Something that happened in Lystra. We're told in Lystra that a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked, and he heard Paul speaking. And Paul, observing him intently, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet," and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the language of Lycaonia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. Now, I would not be overly surprised at this response by the Gentiles on this particular occasion. They were worshipers of the god Zeus, the pagan god. Of course, pagan idols, pagan gods actually do not exist, and so they were a very superstitious people. Of course, in that time, or at that time, those Greek gods had been created in the imaginations of men, and they indeed worshipped them as gods. And so when the Apostle Paul had healed this individual, it's obvious that they considered such power to be from the gods or to be godlike. And so they stated that that Barnabas was Zeus and Paul Hermes as the chief speaker. Well, turn in verse 14. We're told the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this and tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things?" Now notice their explanation given. This is Paul's statement to those in Lystra. He said, "We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all things that are in them, who in times past allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven in fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. So, their ardor toward Paul and Barnabas as gods, as Zeus and Hermes, was of course misplaced. And they were told very clearly by these two men, "All we are men like you." It's interesting to note how he explains what God did in times past. He has made himself evident, both in the creative work and also in verse 17, "He did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons." So we note that God is demonstrating his power even today in the provisions that he affords to us in this creation that he has given us. But we are told in verse 16 that he in time past allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Now understand that the Jews were the chosen of God. The Jews and the Jews alone have been given that special covenant between God and them by the hand of Moses, that law. It is not to say that God excused the Gentiles from their idolatry. Never did and never will. But it does indicate that in times past, those Gentiles were those who are without. They, as Paul said in Romans the second chapter, they had a righteousness that they were to keep, but that righteousness that they did as without law is a righteousness that God held them to, but is different from the old law. So he says that's the way it was in times past. But, verse 14, we are men with the same nature, preach to you that you should turn from these vain things to the living God. Now I want you to notice the similarity between that and what we find in Acts chapter 17. So if you will turn there, we have almost the same message that is given to those at the Areopagus in Athens as the Apostle Paul preached to them. He told in verse 22, as he stood up in the Areopagus, he said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. I was passing through considering the objects of your worship. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you.'" Now he identifies God just as he did to those who are in Lystra. God made the world and everything in it. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he gives to all life, breath, and all things, made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has preappointed the times and boundaries of their habitation so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. So he is identifying God once again. Now notice in verse 29 the statement, "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God," what did he say to those in Lystra? To turn away from those idols. He said, "We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." Remember that he said that he allowed the Gentiles to go their direction in Lystra. In verse 30, these times of ignorance got overlooked, but now they are to come to God. Now they are to worship the Lord. Now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And as he said that he gave a significance in times past, left evidence of himself in the good provisions that he gave, here he becomes very specific in his evidence that he supplied. He has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all in that he raised him from the dead. And so there is that very clear evidence that is supplied that now in this time, as he calls all men to himself, he does through the auspices of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that we must come to in order to be saved. No one else will suffice. And so the uniqueness of Jesus is extolled in this particular chapter. You have two groups of idolaters. Two groups are told to leave idolatry, to remember the divine nature of the one true God, evidenced by creation, but that you must come to him today because what he allowed in times past, he no longer allows. Any individual today, no matter who they are, no matter what culture they're a part of, it is necessary that they turn to God and accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And it's just a wonderful expression that is given, one that is especially relevant when we talk about the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles are those without the commonwealth of Israel, those who are without hope outside of the covenant with Jesus Christ. And we do offer the response to that covenant to all who are here today by way of invitation. And so if there is anyone who is here who needs to respond to the invitation call, we don't know the heart of any who are here. It may be that you want to become a child of God today. If that is the case, we give you opportunity. Maybe that there is something amiss or something that you have need of. And if that is the case, we offer it to you as well. If there is a need, would you now come while together we stand and while we sing?